This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Hair Loss Prevention and Health News channels. We're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Today, we are speaking with Dr. Alan J. Bauman, MD, a full-time board-certified hair transplant surgeon who has treated over 17,000 patients and performed over 8,000 hair transplants since opening his practice in Boca Raton, Florida in 1997. Dr. Bauman, a pleasure to have you with us today here on eHealth Radio.
Thanks so much, Eric. It's really a pleasure to be here with you.
Our pleasure as well, and thanks so much for your time. So for starters, how common is hair loss in men and women?
Well, hair loss is extremely common in both men and women. Hereditary hair loss affects nearly 80 million Americans across the board. And, you know, if you're over 50, you've got a better than 50% chance that it's happening to you. But it can start as early as puberty, diminishing hair quality and quantity over time, sometimes slow, sometimes fast. And, you know, when hair loss is happening, wow, it can really be devastating for some people.
Very true, very true. Now, what are the signs of hair loss?
Well, for men, you know, you can usually see the hair loss literally from across the room. You can have a receding hairline, so your forehead starts to get larger, temples start to recede, and you can start to lose some coverage in the crown area near where the swirl is on the back of the scalp, and it can progress to total hair loss over the course of the entire scalp, or the top of the scalp, I should say, but it usually spares the sides and the back of the scalp in men. That's where those hairs are relatively permanent and live and grow forever. Now, for women, however, it can be a little bit different. Usually women don't go completely bald. They'll have more of a generalized thinning that happens just behind the hairline or in the temple areas, and they lose some density and caliber of hair slowly. And you can actually lose, science shows us, you can lose 50% of your hair without it being noticeable to the naked eye. But once you've lost 50%, then all of a sudden, boom, it starts to look thin, and we need to take action way before it starts to look thin, I guess is the take-home message for your listeners.
Certainly some good advice there. Now, also, what is the psychological impact of going through hair loss?
Well, you know, hair is important to us. You know, everybody, you know, knows what a bad hair day is. But if you having hair loss, a bad hair day can turn into a bad hair a week, month, or year, or a bad hair life. And hair is a very important sign of youth, vitality, and health. It's a very strong barometer of how we portray ourselves, how we feel about ourselves. And so if you're looking in the mirror and you're seeing hair loss occurring, a lot of times, you know, you look older than you feel. You know, you may not look as healthy as you feel. And that's one of the things that really can impact how we feel psychologically when we're experiencing some hair loss situations. So, you know, for a guy who's out there in the workforce or socially, you know, on a Friday night at the bar, and he's got some hair loss situation going on, you know, he doesn't look the same as his cohorts or his friends and others who are out there who have maybe a full head of hair. And for women, of course, you know, there's no socially acceptable option for women with hair loss. So they've got to seek treatment in the early stages before they start losing coverage, you know, at the time when they see shedding or their ponytail volume is decreasing or their coverage decreases and they need to change their hairstyle. That's the time to take action.
Now, medical treatments have been considered snake oil, lotions, potions, rugs, and plugs in the past. What's changed here over the years?
You know, Eric, it's so true. Years and years ago, even before I got involved in the field of hair restoration, many therapies and treatments simply didn't work. And unfortunately, a lot of people carry that knowledge with them today that, you know, things are just not going to work to treat the hair loss process. But it's totally not true. So it's a big myth out there. Today, we've got FDA-approved medications that can be used, both orally and topically. We've got FDA-approved hair growth laser devices that people can use at home to protect and enhance their own hair. There's injectable treatments that we could do. Things like PRP, platelet-rich plasma, those are treatments that we do in the office to boost hair growth very effectively. And, of course, modern-day transplants literally move as little as a single follicle, one at a time, so that the end result is a permanent, natural, living and growing head of hair, whether a hairline or a swirl or even an eyebrow or an eyelash. You know, we can create something that looks 100% totally natural. It's not going to be pluggy, not going to be painful. And the technology is great. It's a comfortable process. It's repeatable. It's something that, you know, we do literally every single day. I've dedicated my life's work to hair transplantation, and it's a fun procedure to do and perform and to see the results in our patients and the boost that they get from it. because it is, you know, natural and permanent, and a great way to restore living and growing hair.
Dr. Bauman, in your professional opinion, does Rogaine actually work, or what would be better than Rogaine?
Yeah, so here's the thing about Rogaine. Rogaine was the first FDA-approved drug for hair regrowth, and it does work if you're consistent with it. You have to use it twice a day every day. But here's the thing about the over-the-counter version and even the generic Rogaine. It's usually pretty messy, a little bit greasy and gooey. Sometimes it can cause irritation, and it's not super powerful. And it takes a long time. It takes literally 6 months to start to see some improvements with the naked eye that the minoxidil, which is the active ingredient in Rogaine, is working. But the good news is that today we have prescription versions of minoxidil called Formula 82M. That's a prescription version that goes on a lot drier. It's a lot less greasy and gooey. It doesn't impact the hairstyle. And it's a lot stronger at the level of the follicles. That's something that's very popular in our practice. It's the strongest topical medication by prescription. It's called Formula 82M. Super popular at Bauman Medical Group here in Boca Raton. We've prescribed it to thousands of patients, both men and women. It's a great treatment option that they can do at home.
We also see laser therapy touted in consumer magazines. Do lasers work to grow hair?
Yeah, so most people think about lasers when it comes to laser hair removal or something that's going to burn or cut the skin. That's not the kind of laser that we're talking about for hair regrowth. Today, the FDA-approved laser devices for hair regrowth are non-chemical, non-invasive, and they use low-level lasers, non-cutting, non-burning light sources to impart energy into the hair follicle. So here's the thing. If you have a hair follicle and it's weak, you know, from hereditary hair loss, you can stimulate that follicle with laser light if you do it correctly, and you'll get a stronger, healthier hair from that follicle. But if the follicle's dead and gone, then laser therapy is not going to work. It's only going to protect what you have. So laser therapy works great. There's a lot of different versions out there. Many people are familiar with the old combs and brushes. But today, the state-of-the-art laser is something that's head-worn, so it fits underneath the baseball cap. And so a laser cap device is cordless, it's rechargeable, and it's a prescription device. Patients get it from us here at the office. And they would use that typically 30 minutes every other day.
Interesting as well. Today we're joined by Dr. Alan J. Bauman, MD, a full-time board-certified hair transplant surgeon located in Boca Raton, Florida, here on eHealth Radio's Hair Loss Prevention and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio network. So tell us, what are the top myths about hair loss that you're aware of?
Yeah, I guess a lot of people ask me, you know, does wearing a hat cause hair loss? And it's absolutely not. I mean, of course, wearing a hat's not going to help your hairstyle, but it's not going to impact the follicle, which is living and growing under the skin. You know, our hair that we see, the fiber itself is actually dead tissue, but the follicles live and grow under the skin. They're fed by the circulation of the body, the blood flow, and the surrounding tissue to produce hair. And so wearing a hat may give you a hat head, but it's not going to cause hair loss. So you don't have to worry about wearing a hat and losing your hair. But certain braiding styles that we see in ethnic populations and certain women, like even dreadlocks and tight braids and cornrows can actually deplete the follicle, actually hurts the follicle through a traction alopecia issue. So certain hairstyles can damage the follicle, but wearing a hat certainly not going to. But I guess the main myth that people think is that, you know, hair transplantation is a pluggy, painful process, and certainly not the case with the modern methods using robotic FUE, which is follicular unit extraction, or neograft devices, which are manual devices. We can take those individual follicles in a comfortable way that's never going to leave you with a scar, and it's going to recreate a natural permanent hairline that lives and grows forever. So I guess that's probably the most common myth that we see, that patients think that hair transplantation is something that's, you know, not going to work, not worth it, or not going to be natural looking. And certainly that's not the case. We've got great technology now combined with the artistry to get patients a full head of hair if they want it.
Also, if you would, talk about hair transplants. Do hair transplants really work, and are they permanent?
Yeah, well, so hair transplantation uses the follicles from the sides and the back of the scalp. And those are the areas I mentioned before, which are living and growing follicles. They're permanent. They're immune, relatively immune to male and female pattern hair loss. So when we take those follicles and we redistribute them into the thinning or the balding area, those follicles will live and grow forever. Those are the follicles that we want to take, the ones around the sides and the back. And we don't have to use a scalpel or scissors for that anymore. It's individual extraction and implantation technology, literally one hair at a time. And a lot of artistry goes into that to recreate the hairline shape and design. The angle, orientation, and position is under the control of the sites that I create. And we got to place those grafts carefully into position. But once they're in there and the healing and the crusting is complete, the skin goes back to normal and the hair growth starts and it lives and grows forever. It's going to be immune to male pattern hair loss. So So you may be, or female pattern hair loss as well. So you would need medical therapies just to protect the other hair, but the transplanted hair is permanent and forever.
Comparing the present from the past, what is different about hair transplants today than years ago?
Yeah, I guess I alluded to a little bit of this before, Eric. You know, the old style transplants were cluggy and painful. Many of them left you with old linear scars, and there's still a lot of surgeons out there that do that kind of work where they, you know, put scalp stitches into the back of people's scalps to get a hair. That's not what modern medicine is doing today. That's not what board-certified hair restoration physicians and full-time board-certified docs like myself are doing. We're using ARTAS, which is a ARTAS, which is a robotic-assisted hair transplant device. It's the most sophisticated semi-autonomous surgical instrument on the planet to help us get the follicles one at a time, or a manual tool like NeoGraft or another FUE device that allows us to take those individual follicles and then reimplant them where you need them in very, very high numbers to recreate adequate density and coverage so that we can recreate a more youthful hairline, a more healthy head of hair for just about anybody out there suffering from a hair loss condition.
Also, I've heard that you can transplant eyebrows and eyelashes. How does all that work?
Yeah, so we use those same follicles from the side and the back of the scalp and implant them carefully, whether it be into the eyelid area, if you have eyelash loss due to trauma or injury in that area, or you're simply born or destined to have thinner, weaker, wispier, less dense lashes. We can put permanent follicles into those locations. And of course, for women, it's a big problem. These eyebrows are overplucked with time and they don't grow back. And so we can use eyebrow transplantation to put new living and growing follicles right into the eyebrow area. Even if the woman's had permanent makeup or other things, microblading and such, we can put the follicles right into the eyebrow area, give it that three-dimensional look. But let me tell you, there's a certain thing you need to know about eyebrow and eyelash transplants. They all come with scissors, Eric, and that's because the eyebrow transplants and eyelash transplants grow very long. So patients who get those, they're going to have to trim them and groom them over time, and that's going to be a little bit of maintenance. But there's nothing better than long, thick eyelashes and, you know, these beautiful-looking eyebrows that we see on the fashion runway these days. Amazing. And we can recreate that with hair transplantation.
And that certainly is good news with promise. Now, what's next with stem cell technology in regards to hair growth?
So the holy grail of hair transplantation and hair loss and the treatment thereof is hopefully stem cell therapy, using stem cells from the scalp or other parts of the body to recreate follicles, perhaps new follicles in the skin. And there's a lot of research that's going on in Japan and even here in this country on that kind of technology. The latest and greatest techniques that we have today are basically like enhanced platelet-rich plasma. So I mentioned some of that before, where we take a sample of someone's own blood, we spin out the platelets and re-inject that into the balding or thinning scalp, and we can improve the hair growth there. We can also use adipose tissue, which is fat cells from the patient's own body, and separate out those mesenchymal stem cells, add that to the PRP, and inject that into the scalp. And that seems to hold a lot of promise for hair regrowth as well. Research is ongoing in those fields, but we're seeing a lot of promise of stem cell therapy and hair regrowth probably coming to fruition within the next few years. So pretty exciting stuff. But for those patients who are out there hoping that hair cloning is going to give them a full head of hair, I would just tell them and reassure them that maybe it'll happen, but they've got to take some action and start to keep their existing hair. Start doing that soon. Start with medical therapy now, even if they're hoping that cloning will come available later on. You know, they got to protect the hair they have right now. Time is of the essence.
Well, Dr. Bauman, we certainly have appreciated your time and all the insight and advice and information shared here today per your expertise. How can someone reach you for advice on hair loss, hair restoration, and hair transplants?
Well, you know what's amazing? With today's technology, we communicate with patients all over the globe. And obviously, it's through the internet, through your phone or laptop. You can find BaumanMedical.com, BauManMedical.com. And patients can start a hair loss consultation online through telemedicine today by submitting some information and even some photos. I can chat with them through Skype or FaceTime or WhatsApp or other video conference tools that we have and get them started on the right path, answer their questions about hair loss, see what treatments might be needed at this time, or even give estimates on hair transplant surgery, think that they might be a candidate. We can accomplish much of that consultation, not the whole consultation, but much of it, through that electronic communication at the website at BaumanMedical.com.
Again, Dr. Bauman, it's been our pleasure to have had you, and thanks so much for spending a moment with us here today on eHealth Radio. Have a great one.
Hey, Eric, it's been a pleasure, and here's to your hair's health, and I'll catch you next time.
That sounds good to me. We've been speaking with Dr. Alan J. Bauman, MD, a full-time board-certified hair transplant surgeon who has treated over 17,000 patients and performed over 8,000 hair transplants since opening his practice in Boca Raton, Florida in 1997. And for the details, simply visit either iRestoreLaser.com or BaumanMedical.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Hair Loss Prevention and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening, and until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.